Good evening and welcome to another edition of Agar Meditation. Today we are going back to the basics. Today we are going back to the basics, which means that we are going back to how to rise above the monkey mind. This is very important because time and again to check how many people really are following us, how many people are really following strictly or rather with discipline the practices. We put in certain checkpoints. For example, recently we put out a poster asking you to take the challenge of taking a commitment, and we had only 3 people who actually responded, and over 400 people actually saw that post. It's quite worrisome when people do not take action. And the only reason why someone does not take action is because they trust the mind over trusting their own ability. When you don't trust your ability, then you procrastinate. You push things forward. You tell yourself you will do it, but you stop yourself only because the mind says later, a little later. So that's what causes you to keep pushing. But it's not right for you to push anything for the future only because this is the only way. By pushing forward is the only way to destroy your self-confidence, your self-worth. And that's the reason why I thought it is important for us to come back several steps and to talk about rising above the monkey mind. First of all, we need to understand what it means to dwell in the monkey mind. The mind essentially is just a network of different bandwidths of thoughts. There are unlimited bandwidths of thoughts. And in these unlimited bandwidths of thoughts, you have thoughts or vibrations, as you can call them. You have thoughts of love, thoughts of lust, thoughts of hatred, of jealousy, envy, of forgiveness, of appreciation, of joy, of celebration. Everything is primarily just a thought. And when we exist in these thoughts, so to say the positive ones, that is love, joy, celebration, appreciation, when we live in these kind of thoughts, then our body works better. Everything works better. We look at possibilities. We look at opportunities as something that has come forward so we can encash them. We can become better when we encash these opportunities. There are so many people who will benefit when we use these opportunities. That is what happens when you operate with a commitment, with self-confidence, when you operate in these vibrations of joy, happiness, celebration, love, acceptance, appreciation. And the reverse is also true when you do not operate in these frequencies, which means that you constantly focus on stress, you focus on death, you focus on murder, you focus on robbery, you focus on people who promise you some certain things but do not deliver. When you focus on bad roads, you focus on bad government policies. When you focus on all these things, then the reverse is also true. Your body begins to face stress. So it's important for you to take notice of what you're focusing on and take responsibility for how you're going to use the mind. This is primary. This is the primary responsibility you need to take. The second part is taking action. Once you have decided something, commit to yourself. Always, when you commit, when you say something, you must mean it. Don't say something only because someone asked you. When you say something, just own that commitment, which means that you're not going to say something only because someone asked you to. You say something because you mean it. You say something because you are responsible for it. Increase your value by committing to what you are committing to. Commit to it. when you say something, just commit to what you're saying. If you say that you will deliver something at a particular time, honor that commitment. If you're not able to honor that commitment, let the other person know that you are not able to do it. When you do that, you will see that your self-confidence, your self-worth, everything starts rising. And when that happens, when you close your eyes and sit in meditation, your mind will be silent. There are two reasons why the mind goes astray. One is because of unfulfilled commitments. The second reason is because of over expectation. When you expect from someone and whatever you expect is not delivered, and when you commit to someone and you're not able to fulfill, these are two reasons why the mind is not silent. In both the cases, in one case, your mind makes up the stories of why someone was not able to honor their commitment. The other case, when you are not able to honor a commitment, you make up stories. So the mind goes busy. So to rise above this mind, it's important for you to honor your commitments. It's always important. When we ask this question, your answer could have been either yes or a no. I'm interested, I'm not interested. But 400 people saw that message, and 411 people exactly saw that message, and 408 people chose not to respond. But that calls for some introspection. What was the reason? Did you feel it was not important to respond? Or did you feel it was a waste of time to respond? Or did you feel it was simply unimportant? There has to be a reason why you chose to behave the way you behaved. You have to introspect. So either ways, you kept your mind waiting for something. It's not going to let you go away. It is going to arrest you. It is going to constantly bring you back. And it is going to take a toll on you. And so it's important for you to, first of all, commit. And always make sure you honor your commitment. And if you don't commit, you have to let someone know that you are not committed. So that way you put the mind to rest. This is important. This is necessary because you want to rise above the mind. So silencing the mind is simply not possible. You have to rise above the mind, but you cannot rise above the monkey mind. You cannot rise above a busy mind because the mind is so powerful. It is so powerful because we have given it the power. Because we asked the mind to entertain us. Because we gave the mind the free will to generate thoughts at will. We gave it the power. And now that we have given it the power, it's not going to let us take it back. Which is why you have to be brutally honest with yourself. You have to commit to yourself. You have to honor your commitment. You have to produce that result time and again and increase your self-confidence, self-worth, and self-esteem so that you can get to self-love. And only then you will be able to realize the truth. Otherwise, it's simply not going to happen. There is no truth in later. There's no truth in tomorrow. There's no truth in soon. The only truth is now. That's the only truth. There is no other truth. When you operate from self-confidence and self-worth, then God works for you. He helps you. God says, I'm on your side when you are on your side. I'm on your side when you are on your side. So if you are not on your side, then even God cannot help you because he wants someone to receive him. So when he comes, if you are not there, he would not enter your home. He would not enter your heart. If you don't live in love, God cannot enter. He cannot find you. And you are not interested in finding him, but you want him. That's no way. So, today we'll practice the Maypole meditation, but then it's important for you to seek with honesty what you're really seeking. Already there's a trickle because of all the mental jarring that happens with all the technology and gadgets and all the news which is buzzing around. And in that, if your focus and attention is dwindling, even the trickle, it reduces to a bare few minimum drops. And if you are satisfied with that, God save you. So let us get back to the Maypole meditation. Feel that you are sitting in the center of a golden circle of light, the size of this circle is as wide as your outstretched arms with fingers extended. For those who are new, do not use a backrest. Sit with your back straight, the lower back pushed back, your upper back pulled backwards, and your mid back pushed forward. And pull your neck back and your head straight. Think, imagine, visualize or feel that you are sitting in a golden circle of light. And the size of the circle is as wide as your outstretched arms with fingers extended. It's on the ground. In your inner seeing, see a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. In your inner scene, see yourself getting up from your seat, walking up to the pole, and hold on to a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. Connected by this ribbon, walk back to your seat as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energy. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any anxiety, any frustrations, any restlessness, any lethargy, any tiredness that you may be feeling in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Now ask your higher consciousness to send you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. As you breathe out, let go of any pain and distress, any anger, disappointment, any blame, any judgments that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative emotions, negative experiences, negative memories. Now ask your higher consciousness to send you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any tiredness, any fatigue, or even a sense of weakness that you may be carrying in any part of you. And finally, ask your higher consciousness to send you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this love deeply. As you breathe out, let go of everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, a sense of low self-worth, low self-esteem, and everything else that you need to release. Come back to conscious awareness and open your eyes when you're ready. Commitment is the first part of life itself. We committed, and that's why we were born. We committed, and that's why we had children. Commitment is the first part to everything. When you commit, you must not go back on your commitment. This is the first discipline that we must follow. When we commit, we must not go back on our discipline. If you go back on your commitment, you have lost a big chunk of your self-worth. You let go of yourself. There's several times that we meet people who start their sentence with sorry, with an apology. Sorry, I'm late. I forgot. I didn't mean to. You fall back on your commitment. And that way, you let go of your self-worth. Self-worth is the only thing that you have. Self-respect, self-worth, self-esteem, or the true assets that you carry with you. These are the only true assets. But of late, people have got so used to just using their self-worth, self-respect, and self-esteem as tissue paper, they've just let go of it. For example, there are people who work in companies only because they get a higher salary, but not that they love their jobs. It's actually letting go of your self-worth, self-respect, and self-esteem. People who compromise are letting go of their self-worth, of their self-esteem. People who marry because of assets. People who marry because of security. People who get into relationships because of security. People who get into jobs because of security are all people who are compromising on their self-worth. When you compromise, you're giving your monkey mind all the reasons to keep you busy and occupied. It's very difficult to sit in meditation when you indulge in compromises. The opposite of sacrifice is compromise. Sacrifice is to let it go with love. You have to go to the gymnasium, but you have a kid who needs help. You let go of your gymnasium appointment and help this kid. The kid is so happy having received help from you. And that's sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice, not unnecessary sacrifice, but necessary sacrifice, can boost your self-confidence, self-worth, and self-respect. And compromises do exactly the opposite. One must never compromise, because this world has enough for everyone. You just did not look in the right place for the right opportunity. And that's the reason why you ended up compromising. So from today, stop compromising, even if you have made it a habit. Do not tell it's going to take long time, it's going to be slow, it's going to take time, I can't straight away stop compromising. Don't give any reasons or excuses. Stop compromising. There are so many people who are happy with your compromises. Let them down, because you must matter more than anyone else to you. So let them all down. I always say it's better to be an honestly bad person than to be a good person who cries at himself every day. You don't have to be good to others and feel so lost. Be good to yourself. If there are people who believe that you have changed, yes, that's true. It's good. It's for your benefit. It's not selfish to not help others, but it is selfish to help others because that makes you feel the pleasure. You believe that when they are happy, you are happy. That is selfishness. You are using them for your happiness. It's better for you to be genuinely a bad person, where you will first care for yourself, and in retrospect, you will share the love that you generate with everyone else. That is helping. That is selfless. That is sacrifice. But when you focus on others only because it generates some pleasure in you, that's really selfishness, because in the guise of wanting some pleasure, you're helping others. But honestly, it's not about others, it's about you. So stop this drama and get back to honoring yourself. Get back to committing yourself. Commitment is everything. It's sacred. Once you committed, then you have to take action. You must take action. Don't worry about the result. There's always going to be a result. If you don't take action, there's going to be a result. If you took action, there's going to be a result. So better take that action instead of worrying about that result. Discipline, responsibility, commitment, action are powerful words. They are powerful words because so many people discovered that they feel empowered when they commit and take action, and then they continuously do it. That's called discipline. And they take responsibility for everything that they say and anything that they do. They discovered that it enhances a person's self-worth, which is why these words have a lot of power. You too can have that power. And for that, you need to commit, you need to take action, you need to be disciplined, which means that doing once is not enough. You have to do it repetitively for your self-worth to rise. And then you will be able to rise above the monkey mind. The whole objective of starting the Agar meditation group was to get people out of their anger, their sorrow, their fears. And the reason why we wanted to do this, because in our consultations, we saw that the root cause of almost every problem is rooted in these three emotions: anger, sorrow, and fear. And so we thought, instead of waiting for everybody to come for consultations, we can have people enroll into the Agar meditation group and practice. We will teach you the practices. We'll share the practices with you so you can practice and you can get better. Don't have to wait for that opportunity to come and consult us or someone else. You must not consult someone to find out that you are sick. Instead, take preventive action. So from today, honor your commitment, take action. Whether it is at home or it is at work. There is a business training that I take, and one of the things that my mentor told me was very important and very interesting. He said, your family members are your customers. Treat them that way. Don't take them for granted. So start your commitment at home. Your children are your customers. Your parents are your customers. Customers doesn't mean that you sell something to them, but it's about commitment. Usually at home, we take people for granted. And when we take people for granted, then we let go of our self-worth. We let go of all those opportunities that came our way to enhance our self-confidence, to commit and honor our commitment. I know so many people who hold their spouse in high esteem only because the spouse honors the commitment at home. It's not enough if you are a hero outside, you have to be a hero at home. That's equally important. And what is more important is to be a hero to yourself. You must not have any compromises. You must not have reasons and excuses. It's not healthy. So please, I request you to honor your commitment. This is necessary. It's critical, because all diseases start from regret. All of them. Are there any questions? Yes, please. Please unmute.
Namaste, doctor.
Namaste.
Actually, as you said, I have this quality of committing to my words, committing to someone, even to a child. If I say something, I commit to that and give it as a highest priority. But this quality itself is giving me a problem. And it has created hatredness and all. So how to deal with it?
The quality of commitment itself.
I'll tell you why. Because I expect the same thing from my husband, but he is completely opposite. He just simply tells something and he is not at all committed. So I get so much of angry, and that has created problem in our relationship.
Commitment is not a two-way traffic. Your commitment, you honor your commitment, that enhances your self-worth, self-esteem. Okay?
Yes.
But then, but please do not expect others to behave as you do. When you set an example, you are only setting an example. The sun sets an example of rising at the same time every day. The sun sets an example that it will rise. It doesn't fall back on its commitment. It will rise. Or rather, if you move it scientifically, you say that the earth is rotating, but the earth doesn't stop rotating. All right? Now, all these natural objects, all natural elements, let me put it that way, they do not fall back on their commitment. They're just showing us as an example. Every seed that's put in the soil in the right manner, under the right conditions, will never fail to sprout.
Okay.
But if the seed expects the soil to honor that I have sprouted, now you have to honor me, then there'll be fire in the soil. There'll be war. So your commitment is from you to the outside world. That enhances, the reflection enhances your self-worth, your self-love, your self-esteem. But please do not expect the other person to fall back, to do the reverse to you, do the same thing to you. So enjoy committing, enjoy executing your commitment. But please do not expect that. That's the only way to lose your happiness.
Yes, doctor.
All right. Enjoy honoring your commitment.
Yes, doctor. Thank you.
Yes, Sulitaji.
Sir, namaste.
Namaste.
Sir, a friend of mine, this is regarding a friend of mine, compromising all the times and giving it the name of adjustment with the situations,
right,
so that everything can fall into place,
right,
and every time she makes a commitment, she makes a U-turn after every 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Steep U-turn. How do you make people realize that this is compromising and not adjustment?
See, the adjustment and compromising are the same thing. They both are just compromising. There's nothing called as adjustment. There is either
compromising at the cost of kids' lives.
No, I understand you. The important thing is that this is what I'm telling you, this is what I mean by commitment. When you commit to a decision, for example, when your friend says that she is going to take take a firm decision. She has to stick to the decision no matter what. No matter what. It's important once you take a decision. Otherwise, what happens is your mind, you're giving power to the mind. Doubts become more powerful than a possibility of success. So failures become more obvious. You believe that some decision can really fail. That belief starts getting strengthened. So it's important to honor your commitment. That's what I've been telling you. You make the mind more powerful than you. But it's never too late. It's never too late. It's always important to take a decision and stick to it. The way will open. You may not see the consequences right away. The consequences of honoring your commitment, you may not see it right away. But the way will open. All right?
Give time to things.
You first, if you have decided, let us say your friend decides that today she will commit her time to herself. And if her kids come and they try to disturb her, she has to tell her kids, I am not available for the next 1 hour. She has to honor that commitment. Even if the husband calls, she has to tell, I'm not available for 1 hour. That commitment must be honored. When you honor that commitment, you experience pure joy. And one by one, first small commitments and then large commitments, but start honoring commitments. And never, ever compromise, because compromises make you weaker. It makes you to believe that a certain decision can fail. It can make you take inappropriate decisions. And it can make you believe that someone else knows better than you. You start asking for suggestions from people who are not even connected with the problem. And you start believing what they say. All these things will happen. So it's important for us to, first of all, commit to ourselves and always take that action. Good things will happen to those people who commit. All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Ranjit.
Hello, doctor. Today is my first day. I attended your session.
Welcome.
And the thing that you said, like the power that we have given to our mind, it is very much predominant in my case. Whenever I used to sit for any kind of meditation, or whenever I used to go to take this, you know, physically I might be there, but mentally something or other thing is again coming into mind. And that too, those negative things are coming. Irrespective of the fact that I am doing the meditation to release those energies only, but then again, I end up, you know, thinking those things only. So I am never, you know, committing myself to those ideal meditation thing kind of. So that is a kind of worry. And also one more thing, like what I do, I go one step ahead to fulfill those commitments, those promises that I have made to anyone. Like if I have said something that I'll do this for you, then I, you know, irrespective of the fact that whether I'll trouble myself or, you know, I'll bring down my reputation, but I end up doing that thing because I have done that commitment. That is also causing a kind of stress, which is not, you know, helping me to do the proper meditation. So I think I have given my power to the mind. Now how to, you know, again resort to that ideal situation where I can control my mind as per me, where I can give more power to me and can control my mind. If
okay.
You can give some insights.
Sure. Two things. One is when you commit to people, it's important for you to know when to commit and when not to commit. You must say no when it is practically not possible. You can't say, ho jayega, main kar dunga. You can't say that. It's not right. when it is actually not possible. You can't go out of your way. Going out of your way to solve somebody's problem is good, but you don't have to do it. You can also find someone else to get it done. You understand? Find somebody to get it done. It doesn't have to be you. It's like, let us say that you have to book somebody's tickets. You don't have to say, "Main kar dunga," and you don't have to sit there spoiling your family time and trying to book the ticket. Have a ticket agent, call him and say, "Iska ticket kar do." That's easier. Then the tension is not there, and you tell him, "Give me a call when it's done." And how long will you take? 20 minutes. So 20 minutes, you don't have to worry. So always find someone to get it done. And if it cannot be done, please be honest with yourself. And you don't have to give that unrealistic commitments. The second part, when it comes to your mind, you cannot take control of the mind. You have to rise above the mind. So which means that when you, one thing is to learn when to commit and when not to commit. The second is, when you commit, when you honor your commitments, which are just commitments, not the commitments where you could have delegated the tasks, when you do that, then you can rise above the mind easily. The mind, the third thing is, the mind is only a complaint box. The mind is only a complaint box. Happy things, the mind is simply shut off. There's no mind when you're happy. The mind is only in sadness. The mind is only in fear. It's only in anger. So it's important for you to know when to honor your commitment. Would that be possible? Would that be okay for you to say no when it's a no?
I guess more and more meditation, and then I'll be in that position.
No.
But as of now,
start saying no first. When it's a no, when it can't be done, when it genuinely can't be done. For example, I mean, you know what? When you try to honor other people's commitments, tell me honestly, isn't it interfering in your personal time?
Yes.
So please honor your personal time. It's very important for you to honor your personal time. It is sacred. Your personal time is sacred. Your family time is sacred. Don't take them for granted. So first, see if somebody says, "You do this," and if you know this is going to come in the way of your family time, just tell them, "No, this is my family time. I can't do this." It's okay for you to, for other people to say that Ranjit is not willing to commit. Kya ho gaya isko? It's okay for people to say that. But let me tell you, if you don't do it, they'll find someone else to do it. But your family doesn't have that someone else.
Absolutely.
You don't have that someone else. Right? So please honor yourself first. Instead of honor other people's commitments, first honor yourself. You can decide, this is the time when I will devote my time to my family, and this is the time when I will devote my time to myself, and stick to that time, and no mobile at that time, no telephone calls at that time, no messages at that time. You are going to honor that commitment to your family, to yourself. Start there, and then everybody else come.
Right.
Then you will see your meditations will get better. Yes.
One small thing. Like what happens, you know, all of a sudden when you are in a good mood or something, I don't know why, everything is good, but all of a sudden that negative feeling comes into mind that, okay, this thing will happen. I don't know why. I was very good. I was very positive. But why that, you know, that feeling came into that mind.
Yes, that's low self-worth. When you overcome it and you are pressurized to deliver, you are letting go of your self-worth, your self-love, and your self-esteem. When you do that, then you start, when self-love goes down, you start having negative thoughts of losing someone, accidents, or losing certain things, or missing a flight. You will start having all those negative thoughts only because you fell from the position of self-love.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yes, Rashi.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, for me, it's a little confusing here. Being at home, being with the family members, I'm unable to decide sometimes if I'm honoring myself, by making, family commitments for the family only, family members, with your children, with your in-laws. If I can't understand if I'm sacrificing myself or it's my duty, or if I'm, honoring myself. I'm unable to make out.
It's very simple. It tells if you're honoring yourself or you're compromising. When you honor yourself, you'll tell your children, ye kar do. You'll give work to everyone. You'll get work done. That's honoring yourself. When you believe that you have to do everything by yourself, you're compromising on yourself.
Okay, sir.
What's happening then? Feedback?
If I'm asking them to do, I'm actually empowering them.
You are delegating tasks, you're getting things done.
Right.
If they do the tasks, they get empowered. You're not empowering them by just asking them to do something. When they do the tasks, they feel empowered, because their self-confidence will go up when they do the tasks immediately after you've told them.
Right.
You told them something at 5 o'clock and they did it at 8 o'clock. It's not going to empower them.
Hmm.
They're going to feel lazy and say that, why should I do? But the moment the moment you ask them to do, that'll empower them. And when you delegate tasks, then you get more time for yourself. That's called self-confidence, self-worth and self-love.
So I'll work on that, sir.
Yeah. Yes, Sumeji, we'll take the last one and then we will close this session.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, how to handle these financial commitments? Because a suggestion that we give money to somebody and whenever they commit for some dates and that date never comes. How to handle this type of situation?
You've given money to someone, it's not going to come back.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, so there's nothing else to this. It's just not going to come back. So people, when they ask for money, it's not money that they want. They don't know what they want. And so the easiest thing that they can ask for is money. What will they do with money? If they had that money, they would return it. When they don't have that money, let me tell you how money works. If I asked you money, and let's say that you gave me money, it comes to me so freely, very free. It just flows so free, so happy. But when I have to return to you, I have to work for it. I have to put my sweat and blood to generate the money. But once I generate that money, I don't want to give it to you because I put my sweat and blood into it. At that time, the fact that you have given the money to me in the first place doesn't hold ground. That simply takes a back seat. And this is why people don't return the money that they have to give you. It's not that they don't have money. It's just that they have earned that money and now they want to use it for their own desires and their own families. They don't want to return it to you. It takes a great deal of commitment for someone to honor giving back that money. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So don't give money. Ask them, what do you want instead? Don't tell them, I won't give money. Tell them, ask them, what do you want? If he keeps repeating money, you say, what do you need money for? I need to buy these things. Okay. I will help you with someone who can give this to you at a credit. If there are materials that he requires. If there's anything else that you could, if he says I am desperate, I need money to pay my students' fees, do good karma. You could probably pay the students' fee and say that you don't have to pay back. But when you give money and you want it back, you're not going to get it.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So let's close this session, but let the lessons remain. Commitment. Let it remain in your head. Take it with you. Sleep with it every night. Wake up with it. No matter what you do, do it with commitment. Let that energy really build you up. You have no idea how commitment works. I have a friend, and if he commits that he will arrive at my office at 10:30, I can set my clock. That's how punctual he's been for over 10 years. I have a great deal of honor for him because he never, ever has fallen. He has never called to tell that he'll be late. Never in the last 10 years. More than 10 years, actually. I have a great deal of respect for him. And that's what commitment does to you. People honor you. People worship you when you stick to your commitment. They are scared of you because you will stick to your commitment. When they ask you something, they are scared that you will commit. Then they don't know how to handle your commitment because you're dead serious about your commitment. So be that powerful person for yourself and for everyone around you. With this, I end today's session. Thank you very much for coming online today, for taking these sessions. I haven't uploaded the previous recording. I will do that and today's recording in some time. Thank you very much for attending today. I'll see you again next Saturday. Until then, have a beautiful week and have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.